Thank you, Sarah, for reminding us that when we become a child of God, He cares for us. Before we become a child of God, He loves us, loved us enough to send His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. Even when we were yet sinners, He died for us. And so our lives are in His hands. It encourages me because I don't know what's going to be this next year. Anybody here still have a resolution you haven't broken? I mean, this is day 13 in the new year. This is about average for breaking your resolution or your goals, and you've given up on them by now. Hopefully not. Hopefully you set goals. I say that because when Cindy and I go to Cozumel, Mexico, we rent a Jeep or something. We drive around to the other side of the island, and that's the side that faces Cuba, and the waves are really coming in there. On the side where we stay, it's coral, and you can look across and see the mainland, but we're just on this island. But on the other side, the waves come crashing in, and it carries with them all kinds of treasures get washed up. We heard from missionary Lee Peterson. He's giving just excellent challenges to us on Wednesday evenings. This past Wednesday, he read something about drift. Don't expect to drift into love with God. Don't expect to drift into a life that's honoring God. We go to the other side of the island. We see all the stuff that drifts up. We look for treasures. We find all kinds of treasures. We find sandals. Usually one sandal. But if you don't mind that they're different, you can usually come up with a pair. Just they look different. I mean, you say, man, we could sell those maybe. Go on the other side where the tourists come in. And so we look for all kinds of treasures. There's needles and things that wash up. But unless you live a life of intentional life, it's mostly just garbage that piles up there, stuff that's left from other people. And we can go through this whole year and look back and say, look at what I've done, or look at how close I'm in love with God. If you look back and you say, oh, man, I love God more today than I did last year, then you did it because you were intentional about it. That's one reason why we have services here, is to continue to remind us and encourage us and to spur us on in our quest to be like Jesus Christ. Because that's God's purpose for us, and that's the Holy Spirit's job, is to conform us into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ, Romans 8:29. And so He works together these things for our good so that we might be like His Son, Romans 8:28. And so this morning, I want to encourage us, so what if you gained a pound instead of lost a pound? You fasted for 3 days and you gain a pound. That can happen. You need to be, but don't give up. Don't quit, because there is a goal that God has for us. And it isn't that we just work, work, work. I don't want us to work so much that we don't spend time with Him. And that can happen to a preacher where he's so busy with the work of the Lord that he never gets together with the Lord. And it's a shame when that happens in our lives. So my encouragement this year is to be intentional in your living. At the end of 2018, we pause and we look back and we see where we were and what we've maybe accomplished and it helps us determine our goals and plans for the future. But we pause so that we might be able to plan. There's a reason Why? Philippians 3, 12 through 14. I'm going to start with these verses this morning. Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Reverse is good, but don't get stuck in reverse. And that's what Paul is saying here in Philippians 3, beginning with verse 14. This is what he says. I'm going to start with verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. I think we all know that we're not perfect. I think we've grasped that by now. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. I'm going to follow those things that Jesus wants me to follow. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended or reached my primary goal. Last year wasn't the pinnacle, hopefully not the pinnacle of your relationship with Jesus Christ. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. People can find themselves stuck in reverse. Reverse is good. It can help us to evaluate those things. But we're not designed to spend a lot of time in reverse. Otherwise, we'd have eyes in the back of our heads. And so that we could continue on that way. Right now, the way it is, you actually have to turn your head, or you, well, I guess the new vehicles, they have the backup little things there, you know, backup theater for you to watch as you back up. But in the olden days, and in our vehicle, you have to turn your head. And the older I get, in fact, Nate said, how old do you have to get, Dad, before you no longer have to turn and look behind you when you back up? You know, you reach a certain age and you just say, okay, hopefully there's nobody behind me. I can't turn my head, can't get around, so just go slow and then you can hear the crunch when it happens. But reverse is good, but the cars are not designed to go all the time in reverse. Now, I say reverse is good because when I was a junior and senior in Pillsbury Baptist Bible College, I went on extension up to Plymouth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, in a suburb of Minneapolis. And so there were four or five of us that would go there, and we'd go up on either Friday night or Saturday, usually Friday night. We'd stay in the church, and then we would go out calling on bus kids, and then Sunday we would drive the bus, pick up kids for church there. And when we were doing that, I got to know a high school girl by the name of Cindy Phillips. And so there towards the end, I wanted to take her out to date her, but I couldn't date, so I didn't call it a date. Her dad wouldn't let me date her daughter. So, but I could take her to supper to a Dairy Queen. Now, I rode up with somebody else, so and they dropped me off at Phillips's, and I asked Mr. Phillips if I could take Cindy to the Dairy Queen. Yes. Is it close enough to walk to? No. And Mr. Phillips said, we've got this VW van. You know, now it would be called a hippie van back then. It didn't have peace signs on the side or love and psychedelic colors, anything like that, but it was a VW van. And he said, now, do you know how to drive a manual transmission? I grew up on the ranch. Everything we had was manual transmissions. I mean, these dump trucks we had to drive, you had to double clutch every time you went to shift. And so, of course. And we got in the van and just I pulled out and drove to the A&W or to the Dairy Queen. And it was the old Dairy Queens that had panes of glass. You know, the glass came in like this, and it was just all glass. It was a fishbowl, and it kind of went around and pulled in. But, you know, you can see everybody that's in there. And maybe that's why it was okay with Mr. Phillips that we took her there. I pulled in there up to the stone wall so I wouldn't run through the glass. We got out. We ate supper there, chicken strips or whatever, and then we got back into the van. And now all I had to do was to put it in reverse, back up, and drive out. I could not find reverse. It did not have a reverse. I thought, what a crazy thing to build something without a reverse. And could not find it. I'd driven everything, but I could not find the reverse. Went through all the different patterns. Finally, I knew where neutral was, got out, put in neutral, got out. And the VW vans are snub nose, you know. And so my head was on the windshield and my back was on the, and I began to push, you know. My eyes are bulging, the veins in my forehead are bulging, and my face is all red and everybody's in there watching. Because my face is about this far from the glass, and they're all just having a great time. They could have come out and helped me as I pushed that van back, finally got in, and found first, of course, and drove away. Now, I was too proud to ask Mr. Phillips where the reverse was. But I did ask a friend if they had ever experienced anything like that. They said, yes, reverse is you have to push the lever down and then go into reverse. Ah, crazy thing, stupid thing, you know. So reverse can be good, but don't get stuck in reverse here. And that's the challenge this morning is don't get stuck with the things that happened last year that were terrible things to you. And you can be stuck with those and allow them, those things, to control your 2019. See, that can happen. Somebody does you wrong. And so you'll spend this whole year, last year, and you'll spend this whole year stewing over that. No. Somebody says something to hurt you. And you can spend, somebody deserts you. You can, whatever, and you can live with that all through 2019. You can't live in reverse. What we do is we say, thank you, Lord, I forgive them, and then we go on. That is what we are to do. If somebody was ugly to you, get over it. Somebody hollers at you, and I had this happen recently, driving out of the Civic Center parking lot, and a young lady was driving, and she was going to go head up the hill on Riverside Drive, and so I was going to pull out. She didn't have a blinker on or anything going, and I started to pull out, and she decided she was going to turn in. And so I got just a little ways out there, and she turns in, and she gives me this ugly look. And initially I thought, man, I feel bad. No, I can't allow that to control my day. I'm supposed to be joyful today. And so I had to say, thank you, Lord. I forgive her and go on. The Bible is full of fresh starts. And that's why we have New Year's, to have fresh starts. To say, okay, this year I'm going to put those things behind me. The future's in front of me. I'm not going to be depressed by last year. I'm not going to be controlled by last year. Noah got a fresh start. Joseph got several fresh starts. Abraham got several fresh starts. Moses got a fresh start. King David got a fresh start. Jonah got a fresh start. You know, everybody gets fresh starts. I need fresh starts. I need a do-over. I need to get back on the track. I need to get back in the saddle. I need whatever term we might use this. There is a way to get a fresh start and a do-over. We begin again, and that's the new year. So, but where do we start? Do you know where to start on a do-over? I don't usually remember what dreams I have. I wake up, you know, I'll wake in the middle of the night and I'll be laughing about a dream. And And the next day, I have no idea what it was, but there are a few that I remember. And one dream I've had several times, and I remember it. I go into the where you register for a race, and I get my race packet, and I get my bib number, and I get the four pins, and I pin it onto my shorts, and I get ready, and I run outside because the race is about to start, and I can't find a starting point. There's no start. There's no group of runners standing. Where are they? Where'd everybody go? Is it around back? I run around the building a few times. Finally, I run back in and say, where does it begin? Where does it start? And then I wake up and I'm so relieved that I haven't missed the race. I haven't had to run the race either, so it's good. But where do I start? Where do I start? I thought this year, let's start at the start. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. Let's start at the beginning. Let's start at the book of beginnings. Let's start at the book of origin. Let's start at the book of starting points. And look at some truths about God that will help us get started in 2019. Genesis, the first five verses. And some of you are like me that the first of the year, you begin in Genesis and you start reading through the Bible. And whether it takes you a year or it takes you 2 years or it takes you 3 years, it's always a good idea to read through the Bible. And so you may have just started. You might be halfway through because you're on the two-year program, or you might be on the one-year program and you're starting. So you may have just recently read these verses. I hope that as you read these, you read them for more than just words or to check something off. And if you've got a reading calendar and you can put a little X through each little box, you know, those are good. But we don't read just to be able to do that. So I want to say, hey, this is where it begins for us. It didn't begin here for God because he always was, and I cannot explain that. But I know that this is where it begins for us, in the beginning. That's a good place to start, in the beginning. Start at the beginning. Now, if you're going to tell advise somebody that's newly saved where to begin or somebody that's not saved, Genesis is a good book, but you might say, beginning with the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And maybe John in particular, because you get to see him as a Savior in John. But beginning now today, the first five verses, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day. And the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Let's pray. Father, as we look at these verses just for a few minutes, help us to understand you better and to love you more and to thank you more for the work that you did for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In the beginning, good place to start. In the beginning, many start the new year with a hangover, with embarrassment because they happen to be the one to wear the lampshade at the office party or whatever it was. Or they begin the new year with cleaning up the place with a headache, tired because they've stayed up all night. You know, Cindy and I took care of that years ago when we taped the ball dropping in Times Square, and now we play it at 8:30 each New Year's Eve. We can be in bed by 9 o'clock, and we really don't do that, but we are in bed by 9 usually. That we want to wake up refreshed to begin the new year. And so our new year should begin with God. In the beginning, God. In the beginning of 2019, God in our lives. So we, as growing up in our home out there in Montana, the kitchen on the wall was, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. That is true. We can waste a whole year and not please God in any of the decisions that we make. That would be terrible, wouldn't it? What a waste. How much of your 2018 was God a part of? I'm not saying religion. I'm not asking you what part did religion play in your life. I'm talking about God. Or First Baptist, I'm saying God. How much of 2018 did God play in your life? Our lives, you realize, don't start without God. I mean, real life. Ephesians chapter 2, I'm going to read these because this tells us where we start life here. And you hath he made alive. King James says quickened, but that's what it means. To made alive, given life. To you hath he given life who were dead in trespasses and sin. We are born dead. Okay, and the picture is not good, but stillborn there. Wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air. It's talking about Satan, the spirit now that worketh in the children of disobedience. So we were born pleasing Satan, among whom also we all had our way of lives in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath made us alive together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. That's where life begins. I was encouraged last week to hear Chantel's testimony of how she received life in Christ at 10 years old. And that's, you know, we should not be ashamed of the time that we got life. We celebrate our birthdays and we invite our friends to our birthday parties, but the real life began when we trusted Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sin and save us. Then we have new life. You hath he quickened who were once dead in trespasses and sin. That's where life begins. In the beginning, God. He's got to be there. In the beginning of our year, our daily walk with Christ, it should begin with God. Every day ought to begin with God. For those that the first thing they do in the morning is to get up, have a cup of coffee, and read their Bible, beginning with God, talk to God, that's a great way to start the day. I don't necessarily do that, although early in my day I want to spend time with God in his Word. But to get up and say, Lord, thank you for the day that you have given me. One more day to be alive. One more day to experience your love. Here, a fresh start with God, walking with confession through the day, saying, you know, when something happens, we say, Lord, forgive me. I shouldn't have responded that way. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have thought that. Forgive me. We walk our day, walk through our day with God, communing with God, our daily walk. David got a fresh start. I planned on reading Psalm 51, the first 14 verses, but you know that's where he had his fall. He had his great triumph with Goliath, and he had a great fall with Bathsheba. And then Psalm 51 is saying, "Lord, create in me a new heart. Forgive me for my transgression. Against thee and thee only have I sinned." Now, he had sinned against others, but it was God that was so important, because that was the relationship that is most vital, is our relationship with God. In the beginning, God. In the beginning of each day, God. God created. In my Bible, I underline God. And then I underline created, because I want to focus on God, and then it says he created. We are created in the image of God. So you realize that we were created to create, because that's what God does. And so we are creative. As much as we think I don't have a creative bone in my body, we have been created to create in some way. We feel the most fulfilled when we create the way God wanted us to create. in Romans chapter 12 and in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, we have been created to work together as a body of believers. And so we've been given a whole bunch of different gifts so that we might work together and we find creative ways to use our gift to encourage and build up and bless the body of believers. That's why we are here. And we win souls for Christ and bring them into the body, and we use our gifts. The gift might be teaching, and so you wind up teaching a Sunday school, or it might be mercy, and so you wind up caring for the babies in the nursery, or helping others, being in some ministry like that. Or it might be giving, and so you give so that you might alleviate the pressures of some family, or hospitality, so you entertain a lot, exhortation, you teach, lead a small Bible study or something. And so we feel most fulfilled when we create in some way. Consider what God created. What did He create? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Wow. Can you imagine that? You know, in the winter nights when it's cold and you go out and when it's not foggy or cloudy and you look up and you see the lights. If you're living in here, you see mills, the lights from mills. But if you're out in the country, you see God's creation, His light. It says, Psalm 19, that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth His handiwork. And you say, wow, look what God did. You realize that God made that out of nothing? That encourages me. That tells me that He can take an insignificant life. He can take a nobody. He can take a wasted life, a nothing life, and turn it into something significant. If He can make the firmament or the constellations out of nothing, He can take our lives and make them something for His glory, because that's why we are here, for His glory, to take worthless things, dead people, give them life so that they might share Jesus Christ with others, so they might have life as well. Something good out of nothing. You say, I had a rotten 2018. Okay. Maybe you did. A God can take a rotten year and give you a great year. Make something great out of it. Maybe some of the same things that made it bad for you, God will use to make it good in this year. A while back, Cindy and I wanted something that we could do together, and so we began to make jewelry. We came up with a name, and I think I've seen it on Pinterest, but it's not us, but junk to jewelry. And that's what we thought, hey, that would be good. Take junk, turn it into jewelry. Priscilla goes out and does garage sales for Cindy, and Cindy will say, well, I'm looking for this stuff, and she'll come in and bring treasures, you know, jewelry that by the bag that they're getting rid of. People, they're trying to get, because it's no good that we can take that junk and make it presentable in some way, put things together and create something out of junk. So the highlight of my jewelry making is when somebody, a friend, some of you, have given me a piece of silverware that it was your grandmother's, and you highly respected her, you loved her, and now it's in a drawer, in the back of the drawer, because you can't use it. It's in the back of the drawer. You never see it except when you're deep house cleaning. And you say, am I respecting my grandmother with that? And they give that to me and say, can you make some jewelry out of this? Can you twist the tines and into hearts? Or can you make a necklace with the handle, the beautiful handle, maybe has her initials on it, and come up ways that I could actually wear it or even just hang it in my jewelry cabinet rather than stuff in the back of the drawer. That's what God wants to do in our lives. Take something that's been discarded or at least stored out of sight and make it something that will bring glory to his name. Take an insignificant life, turn it into something that will count for eternity. He calls us to shine, doesn't he? You know, we get in here and he created the light. Why? Because light is good. Light is good. In Matthew chapter 5, we are the light. We are to be the light of the world. Pastor Steve brought this out in a devotional time for our teachers this week. There in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, it says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men." But it doesn't end there. Sometimes I think, hey, we've got to be light, we've got to be shining. People need to notice us. No, that's not what he says here. He says that if people notice us, this is the reason, this is what we want them to notice. The last part of that verse says, in verse 16, that they may see your good works. So that's okay for them to see your good works for a reason, to glorify your Father who is in heaven. It's to bring glory to God. We are lights, somewhat insignificant lights. We're reflecting God's glory. How do we do that? This is how Steve brought up to the teachers. Here's how you can do it. Scrape the ice off of somebody's car. A windshield, of course, just coming from a couple weeks ago. Help a weary mom with little ones. Place a $20 bill in somebody's mailbox out here. Offer to help someone with a project that they are doing, painting the house, painting a room. I hate to paint. Don't ask me to do that. I'll slip you a 20. Don't know you. You're all going to ask me to come and paint just so I put a $20 bill in your box. Anonymously add money to somebody's lunch account at school. Bring someone a coffee. Ask them how they're doing and then give them the time to really explain. How are you doing? And then care enough to listen. In the beginning, God created. There are more that we're going to look at next week. In the beginning, God, that's where we get our life. Don't get stuck in reverse. Why? We spend so much time looking backwards, we'll get a kink in our necks. And it's painful. We're going to go forward for the Lord. Determined to go forward. Be intentional to go forward in 2019. You want to be a light in this world so that you might glorify your Father who is in heaven. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we might be intentional. Lord, I know that I cannot drift into a good relationship with you. Drifting will just carry me away from you. So I want to be intentional this year. I pray that we might be able to have goals that will draw us close to you and not away. I want to know you better this year than I knew you last year, please. And I ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.